Our epistle reading this morning comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, continuing our summer series through that letter of Paul to the church in Corinth. We'll be in chapter 9, verses 19 through 27 this morning. You can find this on page 1781 of your pew Bible. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Word of the Lord. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Once upon a time, there was a young woman who worked for a local nonprofit organization. Every year, the organization held a charity 5K race, and every year, the young woman worked at the registration tables the morning of the race. One year, she decided she would run the 5K instead of just working the registration table. The morning of the race, she woke up bright and early. But instead of putting on jeans and a t-shirt like she usually did on the morning of the 5K, she dressed in the brand new running clothes she'd bought just for that occasion. She looked in the mirror and thought, "I look good. That's right, I can do this. I'm gonna be fast, and this is gonna be awesome." The excitement crackled through the air at the start line that morning. The young woman just knew that this would be one of her finest moments. She was going to race. She was gonna be a runner. She was gonna win one of the medals, and everyone would cheer. She knew she wouldn't win first place, but any old medal would do. A girl from the local high school sang the national anthem. It was nearly time. The announcer began the countdown and the gun went off. She took off with all of her might and began to run as fast as her legs would carry her. This was easy. As she flew past the other runners, she realized that she was a natural. As she started to grow weary and out of breath, she reminded herself that she only had to make it to the finish line, which would be coming into view any moment now. Then she saw it, a sign. The sign must say they were almost there. As she neared it, she ran the sign's declaration that they had just finished 1 kilometer. She was 1/5 of the way done with the race. Panic began to set in. How could this only be 1/5 of the race? She had prepared for this. She was ready for it. She'd registered for the race. She'd bought new clothes to run in. She'd even been there on time that morning to stand in the start line and stretch with the other runners. True, she hadn't actually tried running 5 kilometers before the race, but she had run before. There was that time she'd nearly missed her bus and had to run to the bus stop to catch it. There was that time that her little daughter escaped from her at the mall and she had to chase her down before she disappeared into the crowd. She knew how to run. As she slowed down to try catching her breath, she realized that training for the race might have been a good idea. Her legs were burning and her heart felt like it was going to explode out of her chest. And then the other runners began to pass her. By the time she passed the 2K sign, she had slowed to a jog. By the 3K sign, she took a generous walking break, gasping for air. By the 4K sign, small children began to pass her and her knees felt ready to buckle. When she finally spotted the finish line, she picked up her pace a little bit, but barely pulled her tired, road-weary body over the line, swearing off 5K races forever and definitely not winning any medals. That young woman learned the hard way that training is pretty important. You can't just jump into a race right off the couch and expect to win it. You're lucky if you jump into a race right off the couch and even finish it. Paul says, if you're going to take a race seriously, you have to go into strict training. Now, he's not just going off onto some weird, unrelated coaching session for Olympic athletes here. He's using it as an analogy for the Christian life. If you're going to take the Christian life seriously, he's saying, you have to go into strict training. Athletes are competing for prizes that don't last, and they beat their bodies into submission to get into tip-top shape. But the goal in the Christian life is something far better and longer lasting: eternal life with God. Eternal life with God that starts now, not just later. That's way better than any leafy crown or medal or check. God's love, our psalm this morning tells us, endures forever. God never gives up on us. God never stops loving us when the going gets tough. How dare we think that we can enter into relationship with God without bothering to take it seriously enough to train for living out that love and for living in that love. If people train like crazy, whip their bodies into submission just to win a race, what would it look like to take the Christian life that seriously? It's not that we're competing for God's love or that we're trying to earn it, but if we are to share God's love with the people around us, and if we're to have the abundant life that Jesus promises, life full of the Holy Spirit, we have to train for that. We can't just call ourselves Christians and assume that's enough to spread God's love and to share the gospel and live a good life. We can't just assume that if we have a nice church building in a nice neighborhood, that people are just going to show up and that's all we have to do to be a witness. We can't just talk about running or look like runners. We have to train. Now, every runner trains differently. You have to figure out what works for you. For me, I have to be out on the road 4 or 5 days a week to train for a big race. If my husband goes out for more than 3 days a week to train, he starts to break. I run best early in the morning. Some runners prefer to run in the evening. I hate running on the treadmill. And I don't actually know any runners who don't hate running on the treadmill, but sometimes you just have to get on the stupid treadmill. And the Christian life is the same. We call the personal acts of the Christian life spiritual disciplines because they aren't always easy. They take a lot of self-control and discipline. And that's this training that Paul is talking about. It looks differently for different people. Some people like to get up early in the morning and start off the day with reading scripture. Some people prefer to pray at night before bed. Spending time outdoors or hiking is part of how many people connect to God. I know I pray better outside than inside, but some people need a quiet chapel or a CD player blasting worship music. Fasting, study, meditation, worship, prayer, silence, solitude, retreat, and many more are all elements of the training that we as Christians must take seriously if we are to truly endure in this race. Now, you're all here this morning, even after an exhausting day of flea marketing yesterday, and so that's a great start. But it's wise for us all to remember that serious training happens more than just one morning per week. We have a few things going on here this summer that I hope will help us as a congregation in our training. The first is that we've put together a daily Bible reading calendar for us as a community. You'll find it out in the kitchen. If you already have a Bible study pattern that works for you, feel free to stick with it. But if you need a change of pace or a way to get started in the rhythm of reading Scripture daily, this is a good place to start. The Bible is called a lamp unto our feet. It lights up the path for us. Without it, we're just running in the dark with no street lamps. Running in the light is hard enough. We're supposed to write the Word of God on our hearts and put it everywhere. We can't do that if we don't actually know what it says. And it takes more than just reading it once or twice or several years ago, or for taking my word or anybody else's word for it on what it says. And I do get that there are some really weird things in the Bible, confusing things. It's not an easy read. And that's where our community comes in. That's why I stand up here nearly every single week and try to explain some small part of it and how it fits into our lives. That's why it's important to go home and talk to our spouses and our kids and our parents and our friends about all of this. That's why we go to Sunday school and Bible study. That's why I welcome questions about the Bible and our faith and our beliefs. A lot of people start off asking me questions about the Bible with, "I'm really sorry to bother you with this question," or "this might be a dumb question." Stop doing that. Don't be sorry. Don't apologize for those questions. You don't have to apologize for taking the race seriously. Call me, email me, text me, drop by the office. It's old-fashioned, I know, but it still works. I'm happy to explore Scripture with you. I wouldn't be in this line of work if I wasn't. We also need to continue to encourage our youth. Start them out training early on. We have awesome kids here, you guys. Alyssa just got back from Summer Youth Institute at the seminary last week, and according to her, it was an amazing time. This kid voluntarily spent part of her summer learning to read Hebrew and studying spirituality. Another one of our youth, who I will leave nameless to avoid embarrassment, I'll just tell you that it was not any of the pastor's kids, was reading the book of Isaiah for fun the other day and asking me questions about it. A teenager reading Isaiah for fun. What a treasure trove of young people here who are eager to learn how to run this race. We need to cherish that, encourage it, run with it. Teach a Sunday school class. Stop these kids after church and talk to them. Get to know them. I've spent over a decade working with teens and young adults, so I can tell you from experience that this church is deeply blessed by these amazing, faithful young people here. When most churches are scraping around trying to find one or two children, and many of them are scrapping children's sermons and Sunday school and youth group altogether, we have kids learning Hebrew and reading Isaiah in their free time. We need to not only encourage that and cheer them on, we need to look to their example of head first, full throttle exploration of their faith. We have something to learn from these kids. Another thing we can do as a community is to let everyone around us know that we are training. Runners are known for spending approximately 50% of their time telling other people about their training and their race results. I really don't know why we do that, other than it's harder to slack off when everybody knows you're training for something. So let's make sure everybody knows we're training for something. Worship is an important spiritual discipline, and that's why it's always been central to Christian communities. But we don't have to leave it for Sunday morning only, and we don't have to leave it here inside the building. So starting this Saturday, we'll be having a monthly service out on the lawn. We're going to try it out through September, and this will be another opportunity for us to worship and to study as a community, and it'll also be a chance for us to show the neighborhood that there's life here. It's a chance to invite people to come see what's going on here in a non-threatening way. It's a chance to talk about what we're doing. So I encourage you all to join us for these services and to bring the whole neighborhood with you, and maybe a few fans. The new members that are joining this morning are joining our team, so to speak. It's not that there's one team that's better than others. We're not competing against the other teams. But there's something very important in community, in camaraderie, and in working together. They're making a commitment to the life and to the work of this church. And as we receive them formally into our membership this morning, I encourage those of you who are already members to rededicate yourselves to the Christian race that we are running. Those of you who aren't formal members, I encourage you to think about how you're running the race as well. You don't have to be a member of this church or any specific church to start training for the race. It helps, but it's not the end-all be-all. So as we welcome Joanne and Peggy and Mindy and Andrea and Tim into our membership this morning, let it be a reminder of the important race that we are training for and of the team that we're training with. And in case you were wondering, the young woman in the story at the beginning of the sermon, she finally did run another 5K. It took her over 6 years before trying again, but she decided to give it another shot. And that time she trained. She ran the whole race, start to finish. She didn't win a medal for it, but the finish line itself was prize enough. There was something of a prize just in the training itself. A few more months of training and she ran a 10K, and then a half marathon, and then a full marathon. Sometimes it takes a while, but we keep training. We keep running, knowing that the prize we are after is something so much brighter or better than anything we can win on earth, and that there is joy in the training itself, even when it's hard. Friends, run in such a way that you might win the eternal prize, so that you might bear fruit and spread the love of God and share the gospel and live to the fullest. Amen. And as we sing this next hymn, I would like to invite Andrea to come up front with any family that is going to be standing up here as well for the baptism.